بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واضرب لهم مثلا أصحاب القرية إذ جاءها المرسلون آية نمبر 13 of سورة ياسين. In last week's or last night's lesson, we discussed and concluded our discussion on the first part of Surah Yasin. We move on to the second part of Surah Yasin, and herein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of a nation of the past, a community of the past, to whom Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam was sent. Now Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wadrib lahum, wadrib. Wadrib, what does idrib mean? The literal meaning of idrib means to strike, to hit something or to strike something. But of course, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to cite a similitude. So in the Quran, when the expression comes, and it comes quite often in the Quran, the expression idrib lahum mathala, which means cite for them a similitude. These people who have disbelieved and who refuse to accept you as the Nabi of Allah and the Quran as the divine message, idrib lahum, or Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, cite to them the example. Mathalan means an example. The example of who? The example of ashab al-qaryah, the people of the town. A particular town Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention to. What about them? إِذْ جَاءَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ, when the messengers came to it. When the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to this town. Now whenever the expression وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا is used in the Quran, it is used to prove something by giving the example of a similar thing. Allah wants to prove something to them. To who? To the deniers, to the disbelievers. Allah wants to prove something to them by giving them the example of something similar. In other words, a similar situation has passed in the distant past. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to prove something to them and explain to them how those people also denied the Anbiya and denied the message of Allah, and what was the outcome and the consequences. Now remember the audience here, we have three different audiences, okay? And they have passed. The first audience is the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. So for him, there are lessons for him to learn in this narrative and this story of the people of this particular city and town. The second audience is who? The disbelievers themselves, the deniers. So there are certain lessons for them to learn from this story. And the third audience is who? Who can tell me? Who is the third audience? One was the Nabi of Allah. We spoke about the messenger. We spoke about the rejectors and the disbelievers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cited two parables regarding them, their situation. And who was the third person Allah made reference to? The one believer, man ittaba'a dhikr. There is someone in the audience of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, though majority of them are not listening to you, but they are those few men, the men, unknown to you. A small amount, they are there, they are listening to the reminder, they are following the reminder. And that person, khashiyya ar-Rahman, he is the one who fears ar-Rahman, the most merciful, the most gracious, bil ghaib, without seeing ar-Rahman. So for all three of these categories, can you see how we're tying it up to what we have studied thus far? All three of these categories will find certain benefits and definitely certain lessons from this narrative and the story of the people of the village. Now let's come to the village or the city itself. Where was this town? What town is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referring to? Ashab al-Qari, Allah says the town. We spoke about the usage of al. We spoke about the usage of al. That al is used to denote definiteness. So Allah is speaking of a certain known town, Al-Qaryah, the people of the city. The Quran does not tell us the name of this town. But in historical narrations, we find that according to Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, Ka'b al-Ahbar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and Wahab ibn Munabbah rahimahullah, all three of them have opined that it was the town of Antakya. Antakya, the town of Antakya, an ancient city known as Antioch. The city of Antioch. And majority of the commentators have opted for this view and maintain that it was indeed the city of Antakya, or known anciently as Antioch. Antakya was a well-known coastal town. It was a coastal town. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of this town elsewhere in the Quran as well. And it was a coastal town of ancient Syria. Ancient Syria. So referring to the land of Asham. And today, in present day and age, it is a major town in south central Turkey. So that is where you will find, and today it's known. It's known by the name of Antakya. Okay, it is a city in south central Turkey, approximately 20 kilometers away from the Syrian border. You will find this town and the city of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of in Surah Yasin. Antioch, or the city of Antakya, was also one of the earliest centers of Christianity. In fact, in the time of Isa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam had sent certain representatives on his behalf to the city of Antioch, or the city of Antakya, and they went over there and they preached to the people and they spoke to them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a very ancient city which was present and which was already established in the time of Isa alayhi salam. During the Islamic period, it was conquered by the famous Sahabi Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. It was then when it came under the rule of Islam, and ever since then it remained within the territory of the Islamic state, in the territory of the Islamic domain. And Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala, who we know he was a famous Sahaba, a Sahabi, and he was one of those who were given the glad tidings of Jannah by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And what's interesting in this area or the city, if you visit it today also, they will take you to the grave of Habib al-Najjar. Now who is Habib al-Najjar? Habib al-Najjar is a very, very important character in the story and the narrative that we are about to discuss this evening. Habib al-Najjar. That's all I'll say about him. When we arrive at the scene that deals with Habib al-Najjar, Habib the carpenter, then we will learn more of him. But his grave is found in the city of Antakya, and you find visitors from around the world, they come and they visit the grave of Habib al-Najjar, who is, as I said, a very significant and important character in the story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about, so now we have some idea of the city that we are speaking about, or the city that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses in the coming ayat. Allah says about the city, إِذْ جَاءَ أَهَلْ مُرْسَلُونَ. إِذْ جَاءَ أَهَلْ مُرْسَلُونَ. Where did the word مُرْسَلُونَ pass, or a similar word? إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ Mursaleen. What did we say? This narrative, this story has lessons for who? For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, number one. He has much to learn from this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look, they are rejecting you, they are denying you, they're not prepared to accept you, but let me tell you of a people to whom al-mursaloon came. You are one of the mursaloon, right? We said Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam belongs to a team. He comes from a certain team, the team known as al-mursaloon, those sent by Allah. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the moment he hears this, that wait, my team or representatives from my team, members from my team came to the people of that city, the Amursaloon, he's going to pay extra attention to it. So let me see how they dealt with the people of the city and how the people of the city treated them. So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that look at these messengers who went to the city of Antakya, look at them for inspiration. Look at them for inspiration, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said earlier to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. Allah goes on to say, إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ اثْنَيْنِ. إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا. Allah says, when we send to them, we send to the people of Antakya, إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا, we sent إِلَيْهِمْ, to them, اثْنَيْنِ. What does اثْنَيْنِ mean? Two. In Arabic, wahid, ithnan, one, two. Allah says, we send two O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not one, you have been sent alone. And we could not send anyone else with you. Why? Because you are Khatamun Nabiyyin wal Anbiya, you are the seal of all prophets. So we sent two apostles, two from your team, from the Mursaleen. We sent two of them to Antakya, to the people of Antakya. فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they rejected them both. As you are rejected, as you have been rejected by your people, both of these messengers were rejected by the people of Antakya. فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثِ عَزَّزْنَا What does عَزَّزْنَا say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we sent reinforcements. We assisted the two of them. We supported them by sending a third messenger. Subhanallah. Three anbiya. Three messengers of Allah. Three members of your team were sent to the people of this qarya. You are one and you are being rejected. Here we have sent three. Alayhimu salatu wassalam. And all three of them were rejected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, so we supported them with a third one. Faqalu, the people of the anbiya. Faqalu, so the anbiya said, the three of them, these three messengers, they said to the people, inna ilaykum mursaloon. We are mursaloon. We are from the team. The mursaloon who are on what? What did Allah say about the mursaleen earlier? Innaka lamina al-mursaleen ala siratim mustaqim. We are from the mursaleen who are on as-sirat al-mustaqim. This is as-sirat al-mustaqim. So they are treading the path that you are treading. The exact same path that you are treading right now, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take inspiration from those three. They treaded the very same path. Use them to navigate the path that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed you on. So the anbiya, these three, and we'll come to their names shortly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they said to the people over there, we are sent to you as messengers. Inna ilaykum mursaleen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, or before we move on to the response of the community, let us understand who these messengers were. According to their two views, were they really messengers in a sense that they were prophets sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or were they messengers acting on behalf of a Nabi, acting on behalf of another Rasul? As I said earlier, that every one of us, we are messengers in one way or the other, because we have been given the responsibility to carry the message of who? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we are messengers in our little way, or in whatever we can offer to the next person. We are messengers of who? Of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So according to the first view, and this is the preferred view, that these three elders mentioned, they were in fact prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were rusul. They were prophets of Allah who received divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are their names? Ibn Kathir alayhi rahma, he mentions their names. Remember, Allah first sent two of them. So the names of the two, the first one was Sadiq and the other was Saduq. Sadiq and Saduq alayhi musallam. The third one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent as a reinforcement, one according to one narration, his name was Shalom. According to another narration, he was Shamun. Shalom or Shamun. So Sadiq, Saduq, and Shamun. The three of them, these were the Anbiya, alayhimu salatu wassalam, who were sent to the people of Antakya. The second view, and this is reported from Qatada rahimahullahu ta'ala, that these mursaloon, these who were sent, they were not Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam in the technical sense, but he said that they were bearers of the message of Isa alayhi salam. During the time of Isa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam heard of the people of Antakya. So from amongst his disciples, he selected three of them and he sent them with the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the people of Antakya. But as we said previously, this is not the preferred view. The preferred view is that they were in fact prophets sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not representatives of a Nabi of Allah. So when they said to the people, قَالُوا إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ Look, we have been sent to you as messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالُوا What did the people say? The people of the town said, Ma antum illa bashar. You are no more than human beings like us. Ma antum, you are not. Illa bashar, except bashar. Bashar, the word bashar comes from bishr. Bishr means skin. So bashar, which means a human being, comes from bishr, means skin. In other words, your skin is exactly like our skin. What makes you different from us? You are exactly the same. We are both bashar. We are human beings. If the message is a supernatural message, then shouldn't it be carried by some supernatural being or supernatural creature? If it is something out of this world, and you claim that it is something beyond intergalactic space, then shouldn't the messenger also be of that sort? You are just like us. If the message is divine, then of course the messenger has to possess certain supernatural powers. قالوا ما أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا وما أنزل الرحمن من شيء. And what did they say? And the Rahman has not sent down anything. قالوا, the people of the... So this is the first thing that they said, that you are a human like us, number one. Number two, وما أنزل الرحمن من شيء. الرحمن, the most gracious, has not revealed anything. He has not sent down anything. So don't tell us that you have come to us with a message from Ar-Rahman. Now what's strange over here is, why are they referring to Allah as Ar-Rahman? Only a believer in Allah will refer to Allah as Ar-Rahman, as the most gracious. And they are telling these prophets that don't tell us you have brought something to us from Ar-Rahman. This is sarcasm. It was not because they believed in Allah as Ar-Rahman, but they heard that the prophets keep on saying, Ar-Rahman sent us, we come from Ar-Rahman. They kept on introducing Allah to the people as what? As Ar-Rahman, the most gracious, the most merciful, the most compassionate. They say, that's Ar-Rahman you are talking about. He hasn't sent anything. So this is sarcasm. Not because they believe that Allah was truly Ar-Rahman. So they said, Ar-Rahman has not sent anything to us. That is the second response that they had given. In antum illa takdibun. What did they then say? In antum illa takdibun. You are only telling a lie. You are only telling a lie. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told that you were called a liar. Again, the audience number one, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You were called a liar. Understand, you are not alone. In the past, three messengers sent to the same people were all called liars. Three messengers at once. They all came with a divine message. We sent two. We reinforced them with a third one. All three of them were called liars. Today you, a single Nabi of Allah, Azza wa Jal, you are being called a liar. So take inspiration from the lies of those prophets. قَالُوا رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمْ إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ What did they say? The Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, there is now this conversation taking place between the community and between the prophets of Allah. قالوا, they said, the messengers then said, رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمْ Listen, our Lord knows, our Allah knows, our Rabb knows, إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ Our Lord knows that we are undoubtedly sent to you. Now where did this expression pass? Look above, right? Just look in ayah number 14. That is where it has passed for the first time. Okay, if you follow with me. إِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ اثْنَيْنِ Allah said, we sent two messengers to them. فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا They rejected the two. فَعَزَّزْنَا بِثَالِثِ We sent a third. فَقَالُوا What did they say? The people of the town, the Anbiya, what did they say? إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ مُرْسَلُونَ Without the la. Can you see? Without la. Not la mursalun. So the first one is mursalun. Go down to the ayah that we are discussing, ayah number 16. قَالُوا The messenger said, رَبُّنَا يَعْلَمْ Our Rabb knows, إِنَّا إِلَيْكُمْ لَمُرْسَلُونَ So you, can you see the difference? On top there's no la, at the bottom there's la. What is this la all about? And when do we use this la in the Arabic language? La is used to emphasize, we discussed it, correct? إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ In ayah number 3 of Surah Yasin. So the first time, they came and they said to the people, there was no need to emphasize. But the moment the people denied. So when they gave da'wah for the first time, which means you must change your strategy in da'wah. Okay, you cannot be using the very same approach all the time. You first use a very simplistic and a very simple way of inviting the person to Islam. He denies, he rejects. You'll have to use a more emphatic methodology. So the first time there was no emphasis. They just said, Inna ilaykum mursalun. The second time, because they denied them and they rejected the divine message, what do they now say? Inna ilaykum la. Listen, undoubtedly, definitely, we are most certainly sent to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they have emphasized it. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغِ. And our only obligation is no more than to convey the message. Our only obligation, listen, we are here on a mission. We have to fulfill the mission. We have not come to introduce something from our own side. But we have come here to convey a message. Allah uses two words to conveying the message. إِلَّا الْبَلَاغِ and al-mubin. What's the difference between al-balagh and al-mubin? Al-balagh in Arabic, balagha means to reach. Balagha actually means to reach. So what's balagh? Balagh is that message that is conveyed with such eloquence and perfection that it reaches the emotions within the heart. Rhetoric. You know, you study rhetoric in a language, balagha. Balagha, in fact, Arabic rhetoric is called balagha. And what does balagha mean? To reach. The literal meaning of balagha means to reach. So rhetoric in English is that your statements or your words are so profound that it incites the emotion. But it should not only incite the emotion, al-mubin, it should also provoke the intellect. So it's not all about just getting the emotions all working, but also to provoke what? The intellect. So that is what they have said. We have come to you with al-balagh al-mubin. Okay, a clear message that had to be conveyed to you. قَالُوا إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ. The people of the town said, we take you as a bad omen for us. Right? We take you as a bad... Bad things started happening when these false prophets have arrived. It is said in one narration that a plague broke out in that town or in that city, and they blamed that onto the prophets. They said that these messengers who came, because of their presence, because of their presence in this town, we are suffering from this misfortune. So they said to the Anbiya that, قَالُوا إِنَّا تَطَيَّرْنَا بِكُمْ. We take you as a bad omen for us. You all are carriers of misfortune and calamity. لَإِن لَمْ تَنْتَهُوا لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ. If you do not give up and you do not desist and you don't stop inviting us to this religion of yours, لَنَرْجُمَنَّكُمْ, we are going to stone you to death. وَلَيَمَسَّنَّكُمْ مِنَّا عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, and a torturous punishment will reach you from our sides. We can come to the end of our tafsir for this evening, inshallah. We will further elaborate on this ayah number 18 of Surah Yasin. May Allah grant us the understanding.